$0.25. Please deposit $0.25.
We're sorry, due to telephone company facility trouble, your call cannot be completed at this time. Can you try your call again later?
Good evening, my name is The Clone. It's around 9 p.m. Saturday, April 26th, 2008 in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and you're listening to Network Radio. As usual, I have a great show, as always, lined up for our listeners tonight. I have the usual stuff you'd come to expect with Network Radio 2.0, a great selection of underground music from a variety of artists, some local and some not so local, funny Christian sex audio tapes from the 1950s, hilarious voicemail messages from our listeners, a conference call with some people from the network community, and much, much more. Okay, so we have some great news for you. We've gotten conferencing back up in full swing, thanks to Andrew getting his dedicated hosting set up, finally. To explain for our listeners who haven't heard the last episodes, basically Andrew was running a conference system on a crappy Asterisk system on a cable modem connection and the sticks of Newfoundland. He now has set up a server in Dallas, Texas on an extremely fast, dedicated server, so the quality is outstanding, the results will allow for many more simultaneous calls. You know, I'm guessing around 10 to 15 calls, whereas the old server Andrew was running only allowed for about 3 calls, and that in itself was pretty sketchy. So folks, do yourself a favor, grab yourself a nice cold drink, preferably a, shot of vodka or something, beer, whatever. Some snacks, and put your feet up, because Network Radio is coming at you right now.
You have not seen underage girls on your compound being married?
It's not a compound.
Do you understand?
It's...
The allegations.
It's not. It's our ranch and it's our homes. It's our ranch and it's our homes. It's our ranch and it's our homes. It's our ranch and it's our homes.
Underage girls have sex being forced. Do you know that?
It's our ranch and it's our home.
It's our home.
But again, when you're
it's not a compound.
Your lifestyle.
It's
you're
it's not
being forced. Do you know that?
It's our ranch and it's our homes. 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 It's not a compound. It's our ranch and it's our home.
It's our home.
Ladies, do you understand that there are some people that feel that you don't have a choice?
Yes.
It's not a compound.
And we're taken at gunpoint.
Do you know that?
It's just like we're animals.
It's not.
But again,
it's our ranch and it's our homes. It's our ranch.
This is America.
It's our ranch and it's our homes.
That's where our choices end.
It's not a compound.
We can leave anytime we would like.
I feel like the most free woman in the whole world.
Your lifestyle is something that is very hard for many people.
It's not.
We are free. We make our own choices.
It's very hard.
We are American citizens.
Your anguish is quite genuine.
It's our ranch and it's our homes. It's not a compound. It's our ranch and it's our homes.
It's our home.
Our children are in great danger.
Scientist.
taller, just call me a bigot. I'm here with the court facts, it's a music picket. It's for all the critics and the lurkers who dig it, cause we know it gives them rickets when we kick it like this. Girl popping up, swinging, wife beating, friend cheating, check bouncing, ass balling, race hating, goat farming, homophobic, coke sniffing, chain smoking, salad squeezing, word dodging, no good con man. L.R. Hubbard was a man of his word, but his words were lies and turds fat like his thighs, and were so oversized it defies my capacity to measure his insanity. I wonder if he planned to be a fraud like he turned out all burned out with no will, then two wills, and dead with an ass full of Victoril.
Music that mocks Scientology.
He lied for a living, always taking, never giving anything but orders. A hoarder of money and guns and drugs and thugs and intelligence. It's a good thing that his life is quite incompetent. Operation Snow White showed right through the disguise of propriety, the mask of legality. The mirror was stripped away to show us the true face of the Church of Scientology, their actual philosophy. Make money, make more money.
Money,
make money, make more money.
Money,
make money, make more money.
Money,
make money, make more money.
Money.
Mary Sue Hubbard and 10 other clans were eventually jailed for a sinister plan to infiltrate and wiretap the world's governments, find info they can harm them, steal files and documents, and try to sneak away with them. But guess who got caught in a paranoid plot?
What?
It was Mary Sue. What's Hubbard gonna do? You think he stepped in to save the day? No fucking way. A coward hid until his dying day.
Make money, make more money.
Money, money, money.
Money, make more money,
money, money, money.
Make money, make more money,
money, money, money.
Money, money,
make more money,
money, money, money.
Scientology, what can be said? Shit poured from the head of a madman that's dead and wrong.
There's something very wrong with Bond.
His dong don't work,
the guy's a jerk.
His wall of shit, a million fake charlatan tricks from pompous bitch. Her followers who take the fist, don't okay, so what's our dream?
Pill popping, rum swinging, white meat,
white
shit, nothing ass while the race.
Touch monkey pops up to piss on the box, dropping drops with the fusion that mocks the illusion.
Cancel attacks with the facts and the slack that cause idiot world noise confusion.
Make money,
make more money,
hating money,
cheating, check bouncing, ass more money,
hating money,
farming, homophobic,
make more money,
smoking, money,
prison,
make money, make more money,
money,
build money, raise more money,
beating funny,
cheating, check
money, make more money,
hating money,
farming, homophobic,
make more money,
smoking, money,
prison, more
money, make more money,
money,
build money, make more money,
beating money,
cheating, check
money, make more money,
hating money,
farming, homophobic,
make more money,
smoking, money,
prison, make
money, make more
money,
money.
Okay, so the first song of the night is by a regular DJ on our show called Crypticon. The track is a nice mix-up by Cypress Hill versus Nerd called Rockstar.
Fucking poses.
Yo yo, yeah. Yo yo, yeah. Yo yo, yeah. Yo yo, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking poses.
It's almost over now.
Almost
over now.
For you fucking posers.
Superstar,
and
live large, your big house, five cars, your big charge, coming up in the world, don't
no one left when we set it off. We ain't gonna take it no more. Since it's almost over now, almost over now. You had plenty of time, there was no rush. But it was your dream to be like us. You're in dreamland, so you don't care. And as you wake, we're standing in the air.
You can't be me, I'm a rock star. I'm rhyming on the top of a cop car. I'm a rebel in my four pop squad. It's almost over now, it's almost over now.
So you wanna be a rock superstar and live large, big house, five cars. You're in charge, coming up in the world. Don't trust nobody, gotta look over your shoulder constantly.
I remember the days when I was a young kid growing up, looking in the mirror, dreaming about blowing up the rock crowd, make money, chill with the honeys, sign autographs, and whatever the people want from me. It's funny how impossible dreams manifest in the games that be coming with it. Nevertheless, you got the gold for the gusto, but you don't know about the blood, sweat, and tears, and losing some of your peers, and losing some of yourself through the years past gone by. Hopefully it don't manifest, but the wrong guy, egomaniac in the brainiac, don't know how to act. Beat 48 tracks, studio gangsta max, sign the deal, thinks he's gonna make a meal, but never will, till he crosses over steel. Filling your head with fantasies, come with me, show the sacrifice it takes to make the cheese.
Support Network Radio. How do you do that? Donate today by visiting www.network.net/radio/donate.html. Again, that address is www.network.net/radio/donate.html. Thank you for your continued support. And now for some hilarious 1950s Christian audio files by Christopher Recordings. A four-part series. First, how babies are born. The second one, the problem with growing boys. Third, girls and menstruation. And fourth, and finally, the marriage union. Enjoy.
This is the first of a series of four recordings on a problem that bothers so many parents today. What should I teach my child about sex? And particularly, how should I go about it? It's intended for use by parents' organizations and PTA groups, not for children. It's not designed to be followed word for word, but to serve as a basis for discussion, as an illustration of how the beautiful story of creation can be told to children in a frank but perfectly natural way that combines both spiritual and biological elements. Only you, the parent, can decide how and when to give these instructions to your child. But these little scenes, by suggesting a phrase or a situation, may make your talk easier. In this first recording, a little boy, who might be 4 or 6, has just discovered that the neighbor's dog has given birth to a litter of puppies. Out of this natural situation arises the first question usual in all sex instruction. Where do babies come from? The father, who might be you, answers him truthfully, seriously, but in a natural, informal way. Notice two things. First, the father introduces the name of God and the divine plan of reproduction very early. And this identification of God with creation carries naturally through the dialogue.
Second, although the father answers the boy's further question, how does a baby get out of its mother's body, yet he gives a minimum of feminine anatomy at this stage and avoids arousing empty curiosity. In real life, this instruction might extend over two or three talks. The child's curiosity should govern, though we should be careful not to give him more than he can handle at first.
Saw that good. How I hate to saw this fire.
What? Oh. Golly, if I don't get a lame back out of it. Shirley. Hey, Shirley.
Did you call me, Jim?
Yeah, I just had a bright idea. Any chance you're supposed to buy us a power saw by stretching the budget?
What budget?
Why, it... Now, look here.
Oh, Jim Costa, you're not a very convincing martyr. If you'd only get out and do some exercise once in a while, you wouldn't mind sawing that little pile of wood.
What do you mean, exercise? I love to saw wood. I love to saw wood. I love to saw wood. Might as well be in a chain gang.
Daddy! Hey, Daddy! Hey, Daddy, guess what? Guess what?
Hi, Billy, where's the fire?
Well, Daddy, old Bess just had a litter of puppies. They're in that tool shed back at Dickie Lord's place next door. Six of them. Oh, golly, they're so tiny I can hold one in my hand. They can't even open their eyes yet. Oh, come on, Dad. Well, you just gotta see them.
Well, I guess this calls for a little inspection trip. Shirley, I'm going to investigate a new family next door.
Well, have fun. I'm sure that saw will work better when you get back.
Shirley, your mother's a wonderful woman. Sometimes I think she just doesn't understand us, man.
Here we are, Dad. Just on the other side of the hedge and the shed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, golly, look at them, Dad. Aren't they cute?
My gosh. That's quite a family, Bess, old girl. You did all right for yourself.
Hey, Dad, how did the puppies get there? I mean, well, before there weren't any, and, well, all of a sudden, here they are.
Well, God made them, Sonny, just like he made everything.
Yeah, well, I know that, but well, how did they get here?
Well, let's see. Well, it was like this. Everything that's alive grows from a tiny seed, you see? You know, the little tomato seeds you and Nancy planted in your garden, how they grew into nice red tomatoes?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same way with puppies. God planted the little seeds inside old Bess's tummy, and they grow into puppies.
You mean the puppies come from inside, Bess?
That's right. Remember how fat she was getting? Well, that's because she was carrying the puppies inside her.
Oh, golly. But, Dad, how did the puppies get out?
Easy. Remember how I told you a hen lays an egg?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same way with puppies. Bess has a tiny opening in her body, and it stretches open so the puppies can come through. And then it closes up again, you see?
Oh, gee willikers.
Well, Bess, take good care of your babies. We've got to be getting back.
Daddy.
Hmm? What, Sonny?
Daddy, do real babies... I mean...
You mean, do real babies grow inside their mothers, too? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Do they, Dad?
Well, sure. But, well, real babies are different than puppies. You see, when God makes a dog or a pussycat, after a while, it dies. And then we bury it in the ground, and there's no more dog or pussycat. But babies are different.
Well, how come, Dad? How are they different?
When God makes a baby, Billy, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. And here's the way he does it. First, he takes his tiny seed from inside the daddy. Then he plants the seed inside the mother. And then he breathes into it something that we call a soul.
Soul? What's that? I never saw one, did I?
No, son. We can't see the soul. But it's the most wonderful part of the new baby. Because when the baby grows up to be an old man and he dies, they bury his body in the ground. But his soul goes to heaven and lives with God forever.
Forever and ever?
That's right.
But, Dad, how do real babies get out of their mothers?
Well, that little egg that I told you about, God breathes a soul into it, and then it starts to grow. It grows for 9 whole months inside the mother, right under her heart. And then, when it's ready to come out, the mother goes to the hospital so the doctor can help her, and the baby slips out through the tiny opening in her body.
You mean Mommy has a hole in her body?
Sure. Now, we all have different openings in our bodies for different things. You have holes in your nose to breathe through and a mouth to stuff cookies into.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, mothers have a little opening between their legs. When the baby comes through, it stretches wide, and then it closes up again, you see?
Gee, wait till I tell Nancy.
Well, I think we'd better keep this a secret just between the two of us for a while.
Does Mommy know?
Yes, I think Mommy knows. But Nancy's only a baby yet, and she wouldn't understand. Later on, when she's as old as you, we'll tell her, too.
Hey, there's Mommy now. I'm going to tell her about the puppies.
All right. Does Mommy know? Wait till I tell Shirley that. Hey, Shirley!
Yes, Jim?
Yeah, dang, if this thing doesn't work better at that. Goes to show I don't know my own strength.
This scene deals with the subject many fathers find so difficult. Wet dreams and the explanation of physical intercourse in the marriage union. The boy might be as young as 9 or as old as 14, and his age should govern the amount of detail given. As in the previous record, the comradeship between father and son is obvious. They share little man-to-man confidences, and the years have seen many small talks between them. Notice particularly 3 points in this recording. First, the unabashed normal use of such technical terms as penis and sperm. These flatter a boy's sense of responsibility. Next, the coupling of sex information with instruction on purity. Virtue is described not as something for sissies, but as a protecting armor the strong man throws around the God-given creative power in his body. Finally, the groping of the father for the right words, the lack of glibness, the occasional touches of humor, all indicate a natural approach that is true to life.
All right. Watch it.
Good boxer never leads with his right. Here, let's try it again. Don't leave yourself open, though.
Okay, Dad. How's that?
Golly, time out.
Golly, Dad, did I hurt you?
No, but I don't like... I like that left hook of yours poking me where my waistline used to be. Yeah, I guess you're getting too fast for your old man to spar with anymore.
Aw, sissy, come on, Dad. Let's grab a Coke out of the icebox.
That's a good idea. Let's take me to your room, what you say, huh?
Oh, sure, why not?
You know, your mother would give me the devil if she were home and saw me horsing around with you this way.
Yeah, she says you're getting too old for sparring.
Too old? At my age? Can you imagine?
Come on in, Dad. Have a chair.
Yeah, thanks.
No, I'll take the easy chair, Dad.
Now, listen, young fellow, I'm not that old. I think I will just the same.
Here you are, Dad. This will make you feel better.
Yeah. It's good. You know, Bob, you're getting to be a pretty big fella. Yes, sir, maybe this is a good idea. Chance for us to have a little talk.
Why, sure, Dad. What's cooking?
Yeah, you mind if I smoke in your room?
Oh, I know, Dad. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Your mother would probably have a fit. She just had the curtains washed. Remember the last time we talked about this old body of ours, Bob?
Yeah, I remember, Dad.
No. Remember I told you that when two people get married, they become like one person. Spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, Dad.
Well, I guess that didn't make too much sense then.
Well, I have sort of wondered about it a couple times since.
Sure you have. And don't let that worry you. You didn't learn algebra in fourth grade grammar school, did you?
Mm.
Well, now that you've started experimenting with my electric razor... Well, maybe you're ready for the next grade.
Well, shoot, Dad, I'm all ears. Oh, here's a match. Your pipe's gone out again.
Well, thanks. Well, to begin with, you ought to know the medical terms for certain parts of the body. You know, every family has its own set of names, and you youngsters had the most original ones I ever heard. But when a doctor speaks of the male organ, he calls it a penis.
Yeah, I know that already, Dad.
Now,
This organ is one of the most wonderful examples we have of how carefully God planned everything for a particular purpose.
Oh, I don't get you.
Well, when a man and a woman are married, Bob, they love each other very much. And in showing their love, their instinct is to embrace each other as if to try to become the one person God intended them to be. Well, son, so closely has God connected our emotions with our bodies that this embrace by the husband and wife arouses in each a great desire for physical oneness. And that's exactly the way God planned it. For the penis of the husband actually passes within his wife's body. Now, that's what we mean by being one physically.
Gee, is that what happens when people get married?
That's right. Now, when the penis has entered, it ejects a fluid which contains the seed, or the sperm, as the doctors call it.
Well, is that the seed that helps make a new baby?
You bet. But here's the important thing to understand now. All those changes in our bodies which make a boy into a man, well, they don't happen overnight. Some of them are going on inside you right this minute.
Golly, Dad, what changes? Oh, you mean the electric razor?
No, you rascal. And don't let me catch you monkeying with mine for another couple of years yet. No, Bob. Well, what I'm talking about now is the fluid that contains the sperm or the seed. It's formed in two little sacs beneath the penis, which we call the testicles. Now, one of these nights, before very long, you may find that some of it passes off in your sleep.
Oh, but, Dad, that's wrong, isn't it? I mean...
Oh, no, son. It's not at all wrong. Now, it's true that to waste the seed deliberately, to do anything knowingly to make it come, is a very grave sin. Because God designed that secretion in a man for one purpose. To be, well, like one of his raw materials in the creation of a new life. But wet dreams, as we call them, are very different. You see, the body manufactures that fluid all the time. And when the supply becomes too great, as it does sometimes before men are married, nature opens a sort of a safety valve in your sleep, and it passes off.
Gee, our bodies are complicated, aren't they, Dad?
Oh, you bet. More complicated than the biggest dynamo ever built. Only God could make our bodies.
Oh, but Dad, why do fellas get these feelings before they get married?
Now, that's a good question, Bob. To begin with, this business of propagating the human race is quite a job. In spite of modern medicine, childbirth still means a certain amount of pain for the mother. As for the father, well, you'll find out what it's like to buy groceries for a crowd like this soon enough.
Well, you mean that maybe some people might not want to have children otherwise?
Something like that. So, in order to make sure this old world would be populated, God made the desire of man for woman one of the strongest of all human instincts. Something like the way he made food taste good, so that we'd be sure to get our vitamins each day.
Golly, the way he figured everything out.
Yeah, he sure did. But now here's the important thing. This feeling of desire, like our appetite for food, Bob, was instituted for its own special purpose in God's scheme of things. You know what happens when you stuff yourself with cake and cokes until you're ready to pop.
Sure, I get a stomachache.
You bet. Well, it's the same way with desire. Men begin to feel it occasionally, well, as soon as they start to grow up. I did when I was a boy. You will, too. But always remember this, son. Whenever you feel the stirrings of desire within you, now just remember that God is getting your body ready for the great calling of fatherhood. To be his partner in creation. So, guard that desire, something holy. Don't waste it. Keep it unspoiled for the girl who someday will be your wife. Get it?
I got it, Dad.
Fine. Now, if you have any questions, come and tell me about it. And now, about any of those thoughts you were talking about, don't let them worry you. When they come, and they will every so often, Remember that you can always knock them kicking with a simple 1-2 punch. Quick little prayer, and then some work. Any work or sport, as long as it's hard. Hey, which reminds me, how about coming out in the back and seeing if you can sneak that new curve past me the way you did last Saturday, huh?
Oh, go on, that's easy. You couldn't hit that curve if it was a basketball.
Wait, you fresh young Turk, I'll show you how I hit 360 with the Bearcats. Eh, trouble with you kids. You think anyone over 21 has to travel in a wheelchair. Ouch. With a confounded back of mine.
Come on, Dad, let's go.
In the first recording, remember, the father waited for his little son's question. In this scene, the mother herself leads into the subject of menstruation with her daughter, who might be 10 or 11, perhaps older. The obvious reason is to make sure that a girl knows both the natural and the spiritual significance of this function before it happens. Parents are the best judges of the proper time and place for such instruction, but a good rule to follow here is better a year too early than 1 week too late. Notice how the mother starts with changes her daughter can see, the outer growth of her body, and then the inner maturing that comes with adolescence. There's an obvious bond of confidence between mother and child, which is essential in all sex instruction. Notice, too, how both the naturalness and holiness of the menstrual function are explained by the mother. There's an emotional overtone here, too, which contrasts with the more matter-of-fact presentation to boys. Here again, for convenience, the subject matter of perhaps two or more talks has been compressed into a single scene.
Oh, let's see now. Fold in the whites.
Hi, Mother.
Oh, hi, dear.
What you making, Kate?
Yum. Oh, Betty O'Brien, get your fingers out of my icing this minute. And how many times have I told you to hang up your coat and put your books in your room when you come in?
What's it worth to you, Mums? Licks on the bowl?
Oh, Betty, you're impossible. When are you going to start growing up?
When am I going to finish, you mean? Behold the evidence of old age descending on your darling daughter, Mrs. O'Brien.
Oh, dear.
Watch this coat sleeve. Watch it closely now.
Mm-hmm.
An inch, 2 inches, it's crept halfway to the elbow before your very eyes.
Oh, Betty. Your father just bought you that coat a year ago, and it was too big then. Let's see, I don't suppose we can let that sleeve down anymore.
No, Mother, you're just not going to buy me another new one. I just won't have it. Unless, of course, you twist my arm enough.
Oh, it's twisting your neck I should be doing. Oh, but you are growing up, Betty. I can see that.
Oh, scales don't lie, except when Daddy gets on them. Oh, I hope I have a figure like Phyllis Graham's.
Oh, Betty, be serious for once.
But I am serious. Uh-oh. I can feel a motherly talk coming on. I know that look in your eye.
I declare to goodness, sometimes I don't know whether to hug you or paddle you. You know so much, and yet...
And yet what, Mom?
Oh, I was about to say, and yet you know so little.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'll be good, really. What were you going to tell me?
Oh, nothing much, honey. It's just that, well, with all these changes you can see, getting taller and your breasts beginning to grow and so on, there are other changes going on inside of you.
Inside of me? What kind of changes, Mother?
Well, do you remember my telling you when you were little how babies grow inside their mothers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from now on, through your teens, the wonderful machinery inside your body that will hold and nourish a baby when you're grown up, if God calls you to the married state, that machinery will begin to develop.
Really, Mums? Well, tell me about it.
Well, to begin with, every woman has two small organs within her body called ovaries. Now, each month, one of them produces a tiny egg, or ovum, as the doctors call it.
Is that the egg the baby grows from? The one you told me about when I was little?
That's right, dear. You see, God knew that when he did will to create a new little soul inside the mother, the tiny body would have to be nourished so it would develop from a little egg to a full-grown baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so wonderfully has God designed our bodies that each month, as one of the ovaries produces an egg, blood is accumulated in the lining of the uterus, or womb.
That's where you carry your baby, isn't it?
Yes, dear. Now, when a woman is married, the seed from the father, which I told you about, is planted inside the mother's egg. And this egg fastens itself to the wall of the uterus. That is what the blood is for, to nourish the tiny body until it is ready to be born.
Oh. That's wonderful, isn't it, Mother? And does that happen every month, even before a girl is married?
That's right, honey. It's part of the whole complicated process that the doctors call ovulation and menstruation.
But does the blood come anyway, even when there's no baby to need it?
That's right, dear. But it doesn't stay there in the uterus when there's no baby. You see, when the egg is not fertilized, it dissolves and the blood simply flows out again through the vagina. Then the whole process starts all over again the following month.
You mean you sort of bleed?
Well, not exactly, dear. You see, the blood is simply stored up for a particular purpose, and when it's not needed, it just passes off. It's a perfectly natural bodily function, and a holy one, really, when you consider that it's part of God's wonderful plan for creating new little souls in his own image.
Oh.
You see, darling, that's why I'm telling you now about those changes that are beginning to take place in your own body. Someday, maybe soon, or it may not be for a year or so, you'll have your first period, as it's called. Normally it lasts 3 to 5 days, but at first it may be only a trace and may not come regularly every month.
But, Mother, when it happens, what'll I do?
Well, when it does, dear, just come and tell me, and I'll show you how to take care of yourself and your clothes. The thing to remember always is that this is a natural thing, a holy thing. It means that God is preparing your body for the wonderful calling of motherhood, if that is his plan for you.
I understand, Mother. And thanks for being so sweet.
All right, now, darling, get those books picked up before your father gets home, or he's likely to forget you're growing up and use the slipper on you.
Oh, I'm on my way, Mums. But first, how about licking the bowl?
Oh, Betty O'Brien, I wonder if you'll ever really grow up.
This is perhaps the most beautiful and also the most useful of the four recordings. How many times have even the best of mothers stumbled into embarrassed evasiveness when it comes to the fateful words which would properly describe the physical union of husband and wife? The result, of course, has been that many young girls have had to pick up this information piecemeal from companions, or else have gone into marriage with an incomplete knowledge that could mean great unhappiness for herself and her young husband. Actually, the essential facts of the physical union can be used to illustrate the sublime spiritual beauty of marriage. The story is given truthfully, simply, yet with an economy of detail that enables the young girl to take in this final chapter in the story of creation without shock or embarrassment. The frank use of technical terms is never allowed to detract from the basic beauty of the divine plan. Notice one striking innovation here: the fact that both parents give the instruction together. This wouldn't be possible, unfortunately, in all cases, but it has tremendous advantages. The way father and mother supplement each other, the blend of the physical and spiritual, the light touches of family humor, all these keep the scene natural and free from undue embarrassment, and they round out the true ideal of family unity that is the cornerstone of marriage.
I like sweet music, don't you, Mother? I suppose so.
I can always study best when there's soft music playing.
I don't see how you can concentrate.
Oh, that's nothing. That son of yours always has one of those Cab Calloway records going full blast upstairs when he's studying.
I know.
And he has those awful medical books to wade through. Mother.
Yes, dear?
Mother, what do husbands and wives do when they get married?
What do husbands and wives? Why do you ask, dear?
Well, there were some drawings in Bob's textbook. I didn't mean to look at them, honest, and... Well, then some of the older girls, well...
You mean they talk about things sometimes?
Well, yes. Only they stop when they see me coming.
What do husbands and wives do when they get married? It's quite a beautiful story, dear. I suppose it's time you knew. Let's ask your father to come in, too.
Daddy? Oh, no.
Well, why not?
But, Mother, he's a man.
Kitty... What a husband and wife do when they're married is the last chapter of a story I started telling you when you were a little girl. A story of how you were born. And since your father and I joined with God to give you life, it's only natural that we should tell you that story together, isn't it?
Why, yes, Mother. I just never thought of it that way.
Yes, but getting him away from those boxing bouts on the television will be something else, I'm afraid. George! Oh, George!
Call me, Jane.
Yes, come in for a minute, will you, George?
Jane Robinson's got him on the ropes. He's down.
Oh, see what I mean? George, come here this instant. It's important.
Good night, Jane. Do you have to think up something important every time there's a good fight?
George, Kitty was just asking what husbands and wives do when they get married. I just thought it might be nice if we told her the story together.
What husbands and... Oh, sure, kitten. You start it off, Mother. I'll put in my two cents as you go along.
Well, dear, you remember in religion class how you learned that marriage makes two people one?
Mm-hmm.
It makes them one in mind, one in spirit, and one in body. Now think back to when you were a little girl. Remember how you used to hug that raggedy stuffed doll of yours?
Oh, yes. I supposed I hugged the stuffing right out of her. I guess that was pretty silly, wasn't it?
Oh, no, you were doing just what all human beings do when they love someone.
That's it. We all instinctively want to be one with the person we love. So we like to be near them and hug them close. Remember how we cuddled you when you were little?
When we weren't using the slipper on you?
Oh, why, Daddy, how can you say such a thing? You know I was a model baby.
Well, I guess I've seen worse.
Oh, George, you're no help at all. Be serious for once in your life. You see, dear, this human desire to be united with the one you love was planted in all of us by God for a purpose. And it carries over into married life.
But how, Mother?
Well, I'm coming to that. You see, when God made a man's body and a woman's body, he so designed them physically that they could become like one body in marriage, just as they become one in mind and in spirit.
But I don't understand how.
Well, of course you don't, kitten. Well, when your mother speaks of God making men and women differently, she means that a man comes out and says what he has to say, while a woman always has to beat around the bush.
Now, George.
Now, look, honey, remember when you busted into the room one day when Mother was changing Jimmy and you first noticed that he was made differently from you?
Yes, and you told me it was so you and Mother would know which of us was a boy and which was a girl.
That's right. And with you being the tomboy you were, it was about the only way we could know. Well, God has another reason, too. Remember later how your mother told you about the different openings in your body and what they were for?
Yes, I told you there was a tiny opening in the folds between your legs called the vagina, and that when you were married, and if God sent you a baby, that the baby would come through that opening when it was time for it to be born.
Yes, I remember, Mother.
You see, kitten, God designed that opening in your body for another purpose, too. And that's where this business of desiring to be one with your husband comes in. When a man and a woman are married, their love makes them want to embrace each other closely. And this is a very holy thing. For God so made a man and a woman that part of the man's body, which we call the penis, can actually pass within his wife's body through the vagina.
But Mother...
Oh, darling, that's a great deal more than a physical union. When it is properly completed in marriage, both the husband and wife experience a spiritual joy that, well, it's beyond words to describe.
And well, here's why, Kitten. That union was designed by God for another purpose, too. In fact, this one is the most important of all. Remember our telling you once how a seed from the father passed within a tiny egg that grew inside the mother, and that this was how God created a baby?
Yes, Dad.
Well, it's when a husband and wife are joined in this physical oneness that the seed passes from the husband into his wife. And there, God, if he so wills it, creates a new little soul.
That's why both Daddy and I love you so much, honey. You see, you're part of each of us.
Oh, Mother, that's so different than those things a girl at school were saying. I mean, it sounds so beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful, dear. And that's why God wants us to guard our bodies and our minds, too, until we're married. Just the way I'm keeping my wedding dress spotless for you until your very own day comes.
Oh, that's sweet, Mother. I'll remember. My goodness, look at the time. And I have an exam tomorrow. Night, Dad. Night, Mother.
Night, darling.
Well, that wasn't too bad, was it?
They act so grown up sometimes. They're really such babies.
No more of a baby than you were when I married you.
I guess you're right.
Jane, you want me to tell you something? It's kind of nice having a couple of grown-up babies around the house.
Very nice.
Thank you, dear. Thank you very much.
Oh boy, one of the finest moments in network radio. Now is the time to play some of Network Radio's voicemail messages from all our listeners. To leave a message, call up 1-866-760-1393, extension 1. Again, that toll-free number is 1-866-760-1393, extension 1.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
Hey, Network Radio, this is Handler. Looking forward to the show tonight. Kind of a thunderstorm here, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to listen in. I might have to turn all my systems off, but have a good show, and good night.
Up now is the Network Radio Conference.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the Network Radio Conference. My name is The Clone. Also, it's been recorded here, so we're good to go.
All right.
So who's this?
This is Michael Enigma from 902.
Hey, man. Nice talking to you, finally.
Yeah, I figured I might as well give it a shot.
Wicked. I'm going to try to get some more people on here, just a second.
All right.
I'm on IRC. So you're at 902, right?
Yep.
Oh, awesome.
Standing outside.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I'm standing outside here. It's about 3 degrees. I'm in shorts, and I'm loving it.
What, do you want a payphone or something?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we're just hanging out here with Frost and War, a.k.a. Tim, and we're just playing blackjack.
Ah, nice.
Having some beers, so it's a nice relaxing night.
Yeah, I was on the BBSs earlier today, kicking it old school.
Sweet. Which BBS?
I think I was on the Valley mostly today.
Say that again, sir?
I think I was on the Valley most of the time today.
Oh, okay. Pretty cool. You want to say hi to Tim here?
What was that?
You want to say hi to Tim?
Oh, hey, Tim.
Oh, one sec. I'll pass the phone. Hello there.
Hey.
Hi. Do I know you?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. My name's Tim.
Well, I'm Michael Enigma.
Oh, well, what's your real name?
My real name is Mike.
Mike. Sweet. Nice to meet you, Mike.
You too.
I hate handles. Yeah, I'm not a big handles fan.
Yeah, it's not too revealing or concealing of mine, so.
Yeah, we should make a... We're just trying to figure out a way to do this without breaking up our game. whatever. No, I just hate talking on conferences. Yeah. I never do. There's three people on here now. Yeah, but I've totally gotten over it.
Hey, guys, it's Kyle from Medicine Hat.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, you go.
Hey. Kyle? Hello?
Hello?
Not sure where he... Oh, there he is.
Oh, hey. So who's with me now? Is Michael Enigma still there?
I am.
Yeah. And anyone else join up the conference here, or was it just you?
Kyle?
Oh, I think I heard somebody. Kyle, are you there?
It's Kebab.
Yeah, Kebab. Sorry, Kebab. Oh, I can't hear you too well. It sounds like you're in a tunnel.
How's that?
That's a bit better.
All right. That's about as good as it's going to get, I think.
Cool. Wow, this is exciting.
Yeah.
So, do you guys like the latest K-Line issue? Did you guys have a chance to read it?
I just read it this morning, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, it's definitely something that you'd have to take some time to, you know, read if you have the emotions to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very
definitely
sad,
well,
but, you know.
Yeah, definitely well written, too.
Oh, thanks.
I was just surprised, you know, scrolling down, all of a sudden you hit all the stuff from his family, and, you know, it just keeps going and going and going. It was just overwhelming to see all the support.
Absolutely. You know, it's good to see that people actually care in the hacker community. You know, you always hear people saying, well, hackers and stuff don't give a shit about others, and they're, you know, criminals and the same old thing. But it's good to see that we have a certain level of humanity.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, as much as it was depressing, I think it was a good celebration of life. It was a good way to sort of end K-Line. You know, when I was 9 years of my life coming up sometime this month, was about 9 years. And I remember starting K-Line when I was 17 years old. You know, pretty crazy. I remember just basically saying, well, you know, Canada doesn't have any zines that are worth reading because of phone phreaking and hacking. It'd be fun to start one. But basically just started compiling a bunch of my articles and articles from other people, and, you know, the rest is history.
I was surprised. I didn't notice how many articles he'd written, but it made sense once I read it, because I just remember seeing his name, you know, attached everywhere once in a while. I was like, hey, he did quite a lot around there.
He did, yeah.
What was it, 31?
Well, 31 or 32, somewhere around there, yeah. Yeah, he wrote quite a bit. I mean, I wrote several. I think I've written close to 100 or something or more. I'm not really sure. I've written so many.
More than me.
Quite a lot, yeah. But, you know, I still want to write articles. I just haven't found anything interesting to write about. I think I've written about everything that I can pretty much think up. So.
I'm not sure if that day is going to be possible. I'm sure you'll find something to write about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I've changed it a little bit up with network radio. You know, it's easier for me to sort of... people are chucking me here because I'm not betting. Okay, another one, thank you. I bust. But I think network radio is a bit different for me. It's a bit more interesting. I can have music compiled and, you know, have interviews and voicemail, and it's more interactive, and I think that's sort of what people are expecting these days, you know, with YouTube and all that.
And then I'd say it's probably a hell of a lot more fun to put together and sit back and look at than a text file, though.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the text file is a fun once in a while. It's a good escape, right? I think it's really good for a lot of people who remember only going on the internet when it was, you know, using links and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Card's kind of making a bunch of noise here. But, yeah, you know, BBS and stuff, and using links and W3M and all those crazy text-based browsers. It's fun.
And, of course, the good old games.
Oh, yeah. They were wicked. What was your favorite BBS game?
Ooh. Well, see, unfortunately, lately, most of my experiences have been either playing in games where there's no one active or everyone's completely maxed out in the game that's not refreshing. So I haven't had any fair chances to make the guess, but I don't know. Red Dragon is pretty good for me. The original one, not the second one. I'm not too keen on the second one, but the original one I like.
Yeah. Oh, who joined?
Hello.
Hey, is this Handler?
Yep.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Oh, Handler just joined?
Pretty good. Yeah. Oh, 1 sec, I'll pass the phone on. Hey, what's up, Handler?
Hello.
How's it going? Frost. What's going on?
I'm just trying to install Enemy Territory on my computer.
I was right in the summer. Actually, right in the spring and fall.
Stuff. Here, I'm going to pass you back over to TC. Actually, it's still... Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, we're just talking about BBS and old school games and stuff, and I was just thinking about the game Lord.
Oh.
Pretty fun. So, yeah, we're just missing
out on all that stuff.
Sorry, go ahead, Handler.
I just missed out on all that stuff.
Oh,
it's
no
still going.
You're going to get a recording later anyway.
14.
What you hear in the background is just, I was talking to Michael Enigma here, and we're having a nice game of blackjack tonight, having some beers and snacks and stuff, so. We're kind of sick of, you know, going to the bar all the time. We've been doing that all winter, and it's just depressing, sickening. it's insane how much money you can spend at the bar.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't really know about that, but.
Oh, okay. Are you a lot younger? Or?
Yeah.
How old are you? Like 16 or something?
18.
Oh, 18. Well, you're 18. Okay. Well, you can still go to the bar.
Well, not in Ontario.
Not in Ontario, right. It's 19. Oh, kind of depressing. Well, I remember going to Vegas when I was a kid, being 17, and going to the liquor store and they'd buy it. They did actually let me buy the beer, which was pretty funny. They wouldn't even ID me. And you have to be 21, which is pretty insane. I think that's a little bit too far.
Or what, at 17?
At 17, yeah. But to have to wait till you're 21 is a bit long, I think.
Oh, yeah. I heard somewhere they were talking about making it 21 in Ontario.
I heard about that. A little bit insane, I think.
I don't know. It's not going to change anything, but...
Oh, definitely. You're still going to have kids who are going to have people bootleg for them, right? Their parents?
Yeah.
Well, I remember you in Edmonton having kids, like 15-year-olds, you know, saying, hey, can you bootleg for me? I did it a couple times. I'm not afraid to admit that. Hopefully we can get some more people on this conference. Kyle was on here earlier, K-Hab, but he dropped.
I'm still here.
Oh, you're still here? Okay. You should get off this shitty speakerphone and actually make some conversation. I'm trying to multitask here, man. I'm trying to play blackjack and talk at the same time and eat chips.
Your hand. Skills.
So, Kyle, have you hacked anything lately?
Have you hacked your mom lately? Oh, I hacked your mom.
Tim said he hacked your mom.
Password was God.
Did you hear that? Something about the password being God.
Ultra laser. Dr. Doom. Want another card?
Yes, I would like another card. Thank you. I lose. 26. So if you're going to this beer, Newcastle is the best. Have you ever had it?
Nope.
Newcastle. Mmm. Ale from England.
What's everyone doing this summer? Going into anything cool?
This summer, I'm not going to any conferences or anything. I don't know if you guys ever talked to a guy named Aesthetics, and he comes on IRC sometimes.
Yeah.
He was mentioning he wants me to go to the Hope Conference in New York, but I won't be able to afford that, unfortunately.
You know how you could afford it?
I'm thinking of going there. Well, I'm planning to.
If you really want to go, I'll ride them down.
Well, I can't go because I have to save the money to move to Vancouver. I'm getting sick of Edmonton. It's just a shithole. It's a cold shithole, and it's fucking snowing in April.
Yeah, it's supposed to snow here sometime later next week, so.
Oh, really?
We've had, like, 25-degree weather for the last week, so it's been pretty nice.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
No.
It's been messed up here. We had, like, 20-degree weather on, like, Tuesday, and then yesterday it was snowing, like, all day. Completely out of the blue.
Yeah, trees here have got leaves and stuff on them.
Crazy. Yeah, so I mean,
some people have gone swimming too.
Say that again, sir?
Some people here have gone swimming too.
Oh, jeez. I wish.
Yeah, still way too cold for that here.
Yeah, well, we have West Edmonton Mall. That's the only thing you can do, and it's a shithole. It's pretty gross there. If you guys ever heard of West Edmonton Mall's water park?
Yep.
Yeah, there's like cockroaches and stuff in there. Pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
I heard there's a submarine.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been to Edmonton? Or?
No, I never have.
Nope.
No.
There's more submarines in West Edmonton Mall than our whole freaking army owns.
I think I heard about that.
Serious.
It's Edmonton.
I'm serious. It is 100% true.
Yeah. And it's funny because you can see all the submarines that Canada owns, you know, tied up on the docks waiting for repairs everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the old pieces of the ship from the 1960s.
I'm pretty sure if you went on there, you'd see Sean Connery with a really bad Russian accent.
No kidding. So,
don't worry.
And hopefully I can have some good music on here on network radio. Unfortunately, because it's boys' night out, or boys' night in, I'm not going to be able to actually have the recordings out tonight, but tomorrow I'll have the show. We'll split this radio conference in, so. We'll have probably some electronic music, techno, and drum and bass. Pretty good?
Yeah.
Good. So, if you guys get bored tonight later on, you should leave a message for the voicemail system. Just say a few things, because I didn't really get too many recordings, unfortunately.
See if I can cook something up. And I'm still working on trying to get some shorter clips from some of the DJs I was forwarding to you. so they're putting out some new sets. Oh, yeah, ready for the summer.
It's pretty good music, and I remember having one of the radio shows in January, and basically I loaded their music with 100 megabytes, and it was just way too much.
Yeah.
It actually crashed Virtual DJ, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, but I'll see if I can get them to... Hours. Yeah, I'll just see if I can get some shorter, smaller stuff from them.
Cool, yeah. I mean, if you know, even if there was a way for you in some way to take a clip of theirs and shorten it or just take an excerpt from it and then just send it to me in MP3 format, that would help quite a lot as well.
Yeah, I just got to sit through and listen to the mixes and find out, you know, where it's a good spot to fade in or whatever.
That'd be cool.
Because that's just the one thing, you know, where they're mixed so smooth, you just can't jump in anywhere, so.
Yeah. No, they're really talented kids. You know them personally? Are they good friends of yours? Or?
I know one of them pretty well through message board systems, and the other one just seems to have automatically accepted my friends on Facebook, so whatever that's supposed to mean. But, I'll probably be talking to them end of July when I'm going to the Evolve Music Festival again. And probably going to be hanging out with them there, so I'll be getting much stronger contacts.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that sounds good. It's actually nice to see that they have some female DJs in there as well. So.
Yeah, it's always good to see, and for me, I'm coming from, my hometown is, you know, way out in the middle of the woods, and then I'm coming like, huh, there's DJs from my area who are, like, female and good. Never thought this would be possible. So it was kind of like a nice awakening last year for me.
Yeah, no kidding. I just won $300 on that blackjack here. I'm happy.
Woo!
Awesome. But, I think one of the best things about the hacker scene, hackerphone freaking scene in Canada is, and Tim's going to make some kind of smart-ass comment, but it's the message board. It's, you know, we're always active on there. We have funny ideas going around and, projects and things, and it's a good community. It's a lot more active than I think IRC even is these days. So.
I think on a message board you can leave a message and people can get it any time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's pretty much the main
advantage. You ever post on the message board handler? Or?
Yeah, I do. I check it out every day.
Oh, right on. Yeah, there's people who don't really post on there, but they read it, you know. Once in a while, there's people who don't read. And then there's Tim, who doesn't post and doesn't read, because he's an asshole. Okay. Yeah, well, winter's over, man. Like, we talking about it. Spring. Today, winter. That's true. Today, winter's over in Edmonton.
Tomorrow, maybe not.
Yeah, tomorrow might snow. I was actually talking about this with my girlfriend. She was saying, back in, I think it was March, it got really beautiful and it hadn't snowed for a few weeks. She's like, oh, it's not going to snow anymore. You know, we're not going to get snow until November. I'm like, you know, it's actually going to snow probably about three more times, and it has. So I think I won that bet.
That's all right. I like snow.
Up to you? Fuck, I hate it. Yeah. If I want snow, I'm going to go to Mother Base and ski or snowboard or whatever.
Oh, I just can't wait for my first sunburn.
For your what?
First sunburn. There's just something about it. You know that summer's actually there when you forget about, you know, being burnt, and then all of a sudden, oop, there it is.
Yeah. Hey, Kehef, say something, man. You're so quiet. You gotta contribute to the hacker scene, or I'm gonna beat the shit out of you.
No, I'm always quiet. I'm that quiet guy that's in the corner.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say that I'm going to beat the crap out of you because you're, like, what, way bigger than me, 6'3".
Yeah. Just a little bit.
You're a bouncer at a bar. So.
No, bro. I retired from the bar.
Oh, I thought you did that on the weekends, man. Like, I know they work at that company that, I don't know if I mentioned the company on here, but.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be smart. No, it's my new job. I'm on call, so I can't work at that bar anymore.
Sure. All right. Shitty. Well, you know, it sounds like you're always getting into fights there, and some assholes are always trying to, you know, beat the shit out of you, or at least. There's people always trying to threaten you and stuff outside the bar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've had a few chicks beat me up, you know.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you were mentioning some girls are trying to start fights with you and stuff.
Yeah. One chick gave me a black eye. She got tasered about 5 minutes later, so it was all right.
Yeah. You know, I've had some trouble in the bars as well. About last January, go to the bar, I'm dancing with some really, really drunk chick. And what happened was I think Halogen was making fun of her, laughing at her and pointing, and she got pissed off and thought I was making fun of her. So she pushes me at me, and of course, being an asshole that I am, I spit beer back at her. She goes to the bouncer, tells him that I pushed her down the stairs, and three bouncers grabbed me and were hauling me out.